party's on. The feeling's here. That only comes.
How many of you are ready to have the worst Christmas ever? Yeah, that's what I thought. Hey, it's a big week for us here at Grace. The Singing Christmas Tree Spectacular is this weekend. So let me start off by saying thank you to everybody who is participating, choir, band, volunteers. I just want to say thank you for giving and serving. Thank you for inviting. We're believing that God's going to use this weekend to inspire, encourage, and minister to thousands of people. So thank you so much. We, on Sunday mornings, we're in a series. Last week we began talking about the worst Christmas ever. Last week we talked about a disappointing Christmas, and today we're going to talk about an empty Christmas, and I know you're encouraged already. So if we're going to talk about the worst Christmas ever, there's a hashtag on social media called Worst Gift Ever. I found a few that I'd like to share with you as we begin today. For my 18th birthday, my dad woke me up at 6 a.m. and made me register to vote. I've gotten jury duty twice since. Worst gift ever. All right. When I turned 6, my parents forgot. I asked them for a baby doll, so they told me it had been kidnapped and gave me a ransom note. All right. Worst gift ever. Got my bro a hat, but decided to keep because I liked it. He saw me wearing it, and he told me he loved it. Worst gift ever. A box of chocolates that they had picked through and only left the ones they didn't like for me. I'm sure somebody's probably done that here. And I love the name. I kept it on here, Joseph Bacon. Worst gift ever, I got a coupon for honey-baked ham. I'm Jewish. I'm guessing that's a prank. My favorite one is the last one. My colorblind friend just got a Rubik's Cube as a birthday gift today from his own father. I'm going to wait for a few of you to get it. Colorblind Rubik's Cube. All right, now I get it. I've asked some of you to share your stories of Christmas disasters, worst Christmas ever. I received one this week. Keep those stories coming. Let me share what somebody sent to me this week. It said, last December, I hosted a Christmas party for my small group at my home. I was thrilled to supply all the food myself so the others could just relax and have fun. The decorations were beautiful, and I had games to play with really nice prizes for the winner of each one. Everything went well until each game was finished and a prize was awarded. Apparently, when I purchased the prizes, the store gave me the boxes and left the gifts on the display shelf. Therefore, I had unknowingly wrapped empty boxes. The recipients were surprised, and I was totally embarrassed. I'm sure my small group will always remember the Christmas party at my house. So if you have a story, share it with me. I'd love to share it as part of this series. And this story here is a great segue to today's message. We're talking about an empty Christmas. And our theme verse is Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. It's a familiar verse to many of us. Jesus, the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The Good News translation, there is more happiness in giving than in receiving. And the Message Bible translation of that same verse says, you are far happier giving than getting. How many of you have heard this verse at least once in your life? Okay, Jesus said, you get more by giving than you do by receiving. And so here's today's big idea. Generosity, and by generosity, I'm talking about focusing on others, serving others, giving to others, will give you a full Christmas. Versus selfishness, which is focusing on yourself, focusing on you, your life, your world, that will leave you with an empty Christmas. And nobody wants an empty Christmas, do they? And so in order for us to not have an empty Christmas, we want to understand the power of generosity. And I found a video on Facebook that probably some of you may have seen. It's been viewed 50 million times, by the way. But it's a video of a guy who goes to a grocery store and begins to exercise the gift of generosity. Watch this.
Thank you. here. What did you think?
I'm going to go around. I'm going to go around. I'm going to go around.
every day.
God praise for that. That's awesome. If this Christmas season, your primary focus is you, your world, your life, you're going to have an empty Christmas. But if you will open your eyes to the needs around you, to the people around you, and share and give and invest, I can guarantee you, you'll have a full Christmas. There's something about generosity that changes us. Because a lot of times we think when we give something, we're actually losing something. We're actually giving, we're receiving more than we ever dreamed. That's why Jesus said, it's better to give than to receive. Anybody here this morning want to say amen? Now listen, I want to share with you just several things from Scripture that helps us understand what giving gives to us, what generosity gives back to us. Because hear me when I say I'm not trying to get anything from you. I'm trying to explain something to you. The key to everything is that when we are generous like God is, something happens to us, we receive in return. Here's a few things that generosity gives to us. Number one, generosity gives us purpose. Generosity gives us purpose. And I want to illustrate this by a story I read this week on Facebook from the Assemblies of God USA. At 89 years old, Ray Lyles spends 3 days a week volunteering as a tutor at the Los Angeles Dream Center's adult education program. The center enables residents to earn their California high school equivalency certificate for free. Pastor Matthew Barnett, founder of the LA Dream Center, who, by the way, has been at Grace a couple times, and the senior pastor of Evangelist Temple appointed Matthew Dimon to lead the program in 2011. At the time, Pastor Barnett announced that the Dream Center was searching for tutors to assist students and expand the program's reach. Dimon anticipated receiving a call or two from potential volunteers. Instead, 15 people offered to volunteer. One of the calls came from Marcy Lyles. Her father, Ray, was 85 years old at the time and was questioning his reason for living after the death of his wife of 55 years, Barbara. Following the advice of his daughter, who also volunteers at the Dream Center, Lyles connected with Dimon and decided to volunteer as a tutor. 4 years later, Lyles is still actively involved in the program, offering one-on-one assistance to adults preparing for their exams. Some days, Lyles conducts as many as 4 2-hour tutoring sessions and stays until late in the evening. He says, I try to give the students as much individual attention as possible. Now, despite the fact that the average student entering the Dream Center's GED program has little more than a third grade education, the Dream Center boasts a 92% graduation rate. Dimon estimates that Lyles has had a direct hand in tutoring more than 80 graduates during his 4 years at the Dream Center. Denman says, I truly believe that our success rate is directly attributable to reinserting Christ into the classroom. Effective adult education would be impossible without Jesus. What a statement. Marcy Lyle says, God has transformed her dad, giving him a clear purpose to actively extend the love of Christ despite his age. One doctor suggested that I take him to the senior center for bingo, his daughter says, and all he said was, please, no. After spending time in the military during World War II, Lyles taught high school math in L.A. for 29 years. His sharp wit and dry sense of humor makes him a favorite among both students and staff at the Dream Center. Lyles says he values his time as a tutor because everyone who attends his sessions wants to be there, and Lyles himself is no exception. Besides his ability to connect with students and help them grasp the material, Lyles is an extremely faithful volunteer, taking time off from tutoring only when health issues, including two recent surgeries, keep him from his students. Even when he's hospitalized, Lyles looks forward to the day he can get back to his teaching. Sometimes we'll be having a rough day, Denman says, and then we'll see Ray pushing his walker down the hallway on his way to tutor somebody. And that's all it takes for us to stay motivated. When you give your time, your talent, your treasure to others, we find purpose in our life. We find a reason to get up every day and do what God's called us to do. Generosity gives us purpose. Anybody agree with me today? Every year for many years, we have a tradition here at Christmas time. We do an event called the World's Largest Christmas Party. And every year somebody asks me, Pastor, why is the world's largest Christmas party? Clearly there are bigger Christmas parties. You got to get the vision for this, because the Bible says every time one sinner gives their heart to Jesus Christ, the Bible says there's more joy in heaven, all right? So you got to get an eternal picture. And so what we have been doing for years is we partner with local ministries, and we provide clothes and toys for kids whose parents are in jail or in need or whatever situation is going on. Pastor Tim shared with me or reminded me of one of the stories from years past. One lady had lost her husband the year prior, and her family was not going to be able to be with her for Christmas. She said that she was feeling down and somewhat regretting the holiday season. She was at church at Grace on the day that the opportunity was given to sponsor a child for the world's largest Christmas party. She chose a little girl's name and filled the bag with gifts. She came to the church the day of the world's largest Christmas party still feeling down. She said that when she saw the look on the faces of the kids that received the gifts, it was like God filled her heart full of love and purpose for the very first time. She knew that she had made a difference in someone's life and that it caused her to feel valuable in spite of her circumstances. Isn't that great news? Listen, if you find yourself at Christmas season in 2015 feeling a little bit empty, maybe filled with cynicism or fatalism or a lack of purpose or something, you just kind of feel meaningless, can I tell you the solution? Find somebody with a need and meet it. Find somebody who's in a situation and serve them and bless them. Give your time, give your talent, give your treasure, and watch the life of God begin to grow in your heart. Because when your life is all about you, you're going to have an empty life. But if you make your life about others and serving and giving others, you are going to have a full life. May these stories remind you that you have much to give. And if you will simply choose to ask God to show you the needs around you and just say yes to Jesus, your life will be filled with purpose. Amen? Here's the second thing that generosity gives. Generosity activates miracles. Generosity activates miracles for us and for others. C.S. Lewis defined a miracle as an interference with nature by a supernatural power. Interference with nature by a supernatural power. Now, the Christmas story is filled with miracles. You have the miracle of a virgin birth. A young woman has a baby. It was a miraculous, an interference of natural order by a supernatural being, God. You have the miracle of all of these prophecies fulfilled way before Jesus was ever born. Prophets prophesied the details of where and when and how he would be born. It's a miracle. Then you have the miracle of the star leading the wise men to Bethlehem. All of these things are a divine intervention from God. So Christmas is about the miraculous. And it's the generosity of God at Christmas is what makes Christmas miraculous. For God so loved the world that he gave. Christmas is about miracles. And those miracles occurred because God gave his son, God's generosity toward us. So listen closely. When we choose to become like God and give like God gave, we put ourselves in position to be part of the miraculous. Let me say that again. When we choose to be like God and be generous as God is generous, we put ourselves and others to be part of the miraculous. A couple weeks ago, Ruben and Melissa Rojas was sharing a story with me, something that happened in the food pantry. And I asked her to write it down so that I could share it here today. Every week, right over here in the storage building off of our parking lot, people come to receive food and ministry and blessing. And something pretty miraculous happened, and I want to share it with you. Here's what she said. Every week, our church opens our food pantry to people in the community. A few weeks ago, a woman in her 40s brought her 22-year-old daughter to the pantry. While in line, the mom told the daughter she thought a man a couple of people in front of her might be her dad. But she wasn't sure because it had been 24 years since she'd seen him. When signing in, the woman saw the man's name on the list before hers and confirmed it was her dad. Her daughter went up to the man in the waiting room and said, "This may sound crazy, but I'm your granddaughter." He was in total shock, and when the granddaughter pointed out her mom, the man's daughter, he began to cry. After 24 years, they embraced. Everyone in the waiting room was silent and in tears. The granddaughter shared pictures of her children, which would be his great-grandchildren, and all three were in joyous shock. This was the man's first time at the food pantry. He was called into the intake room first, and he shared with Reuben that he was just in shock and that he had just ran into his daughter after 24 years and met his granddaughter that he didn't even know that he had, and then learned that he had great-grandchildren. Through tears, Reuben shared with him how amazing God is and that God had ordered his steps that day. Reuben prayed for him, and they both rejoiced. The granddaughter went into a different intake room. The volunteer, Beverly, asked her how she was doing, and the young woman fell apart crying and explained how she had just met her grandfather for the first time and how amazed and happy she was about it. Beverly was able to minister to her and prayed with her. The daughter was called to go into Reuben's intake room as the dad was exiting, and they once again embraced and began to cry. As Reuben was taking her through the intake forms, she shared how she was just in disbelief that after 24 years, she actually ran into her dad. She shared with Reuben that she is terminally ill and had not told her dad since they only met 15 minutes prior, but how happy she was that her daughter was so excited. Reuben shared with her how much God loved her, that he would arrange such a meeting to bring peace to her heart and such a joy to her daughter. She was very happy to have Reuben pray with her. She was more than happy to give us permission to share her story about how much God loves her. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's a nice story, but I want you to understand, how did this happen?" It happened because of people's generosity. Because Reuben and Melissa are giving their time and their energy, and all of the volunteers who are serving there, their generosity created this atmosphere of miracles. Are you with me today? And not only that, but we got to be part of it because a lot of you participated in the food drive for the last few weeks. I got a picture of some of the food that you guys all gave. Because when we are generous, we create this atmosphere for the miraculous to begin to take place in people's hearts and lives. Don't believe me yet? Let me tell you another story. A couple of years ago, there was a dad who had brought his three kids to the world's largest Christmas party. His wife was in the Johnson County Jail. While he was here for the service, he responded to the altar call and committed to become a follower of Jesus. When his wife was released from jail, they got involved with a local motorcycle ministry called Unchained. The following year, the man and his family sponsored a child for the world's largest Christmas party and helped with church services at the jail every week. All made possible because of generosity. Somebody gave. Somebody took the time. Somebody took the energy. A church took the time to give. Through that generosity, they found Jesus. And through that salvation miracle, somebody else was blessed. You see how this works? When we give, when we share, when we bless, we create this atmosphere of the miraculous. That's why I love Christmas. People call it Christmas magic. They love to talk about the term Christmas magic. There's nothing magical about it at all. It's the power of generosity. It's the grace that shows up when we become like God in our sharing. Good preaching, Pastor Wayne. Amen. Let's keep going. Here's something else that generosity gives us. Generosity gives joy because it crucifies self. Generosity gives joy. Did you know that the word miser and the word miserable are related? Miser is a root word for the word miserable. So if you want to be miserable, be a miser. Now, when we think of Christmas and we think of the word miser, we all think of the same person. Who is it? Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. What a fantastic picture of what happens when we choose to focus on ourselves, hoard what we have, forget about other people. It leaves us empty. But the story changes when he begins to give and to bless and to encourage. You see how this works? And so something happens to us when we give. It results in joy. I love what 2 Corinthians says about this. Verse chapter 9, verse 8, God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and plenty left over to give joyfully to others. There's something that happens when we give like God gives. The result is joy. See, we think we're losing something. God is saying, no, you are actually receiving something. And it's called joy when we give. Amen? Giving to others reminds us that our stuff does not own us. There's something that happens to our hearts when we give. It cuts off greed. It cuts off selfishness. And it changes us and it gives us joy. I.e., see Scrooge, for example. Couple more. Here's what generosity gives us. Generosity incarnates the gospel. Generosity incarnates the gospel. Now, when you talk about this word incarnation, I'm not talking about evaporated milk. It's a theological word about what happened when Jesus was born. So let me give you a definition of incarnation so you know exactly what I'm talking about. Here's what incarnation means. Next slide. One more. Nope. I'm going back here. Here we go. Here's what it says. The word incarnation, I think it's on your notes. The eternal word, or second person of the Trinity, became a man or assumed human flesh at a point in time, yet without ceasing to be God. There it is. Now watch this. Here's why Christmas is full of mystery, full of wonder and awe. God, the eternal word, the second person of the Trinity, became a man, assumed human flesh at a point in time, but he did not cease to be God. We call that Christmas. The Word became flesh, John chapter 1 says, and dwelt among us. God stepped out of heaven and became a man to experience what we experience, to feel what we feel, to walk through everything we've ever walked through. That's why Christmas is awesome. You know, Santa Claus and reindeer and all that other stuff, all that is so meaningless because the story of Christmas is about the story of God becoming a man, clothing himself with flesh to save us. We call that the incarnation. Because Jesus said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Amen? Isn't it great to know God didn't send an angel to save us? He didn't send a representative to save us. He sent himself. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to save us so that we could all have salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, go back to the video that we started with in the grocery store. What happened to those people when that man, who is a follower of Jesus, decided, I guess we could call that video drive-by generosity. You know, if you were to ask those people that received that day, I'm sure they would have said, God showed up today. You heard him say, God is good. No, God is excellent. God is awesome. you know, to them, and you saw many of them begin to cry. What is that about? It's the presence of God. Generosity incarnates the gospel. God shows up when we give. The presence of God shows up when we give. I tell everybody I know, my favorite service of the entire year is that last one right before Christmas, the world's largest Christmas party, when the house is filled with people who don't normally go to church. You know, and everything about it reminds you, these people don't normally go to church. But you know what we do on that day? We just love them, encourage them. We share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. And can I tell you, if there's ever a day that Jesus shows up at Grace Assembly of God, it's on that day. There is just something powerful about that when people give to people in need. Generosity incarnates the gospel. In simpler terms, generosity gives us the presence of God. One of the ways that we'll have a great Christmas is by being generous, and God will show up. Just a couple more. Generosity also opens heaven. Generosity opens heaven. What does generosity give to us? The scripture says here in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13, he who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. That's an encouraging verse, isn't it? Basically, the Bible's saying if you're stingy, when you pray, it'll be as if your prayers go up and they bounce right back down. The heavens are closed. God's not going to answer your prayer if you're stingy. Can I help you? God doesn't understand stinginess. He doesn't understand selfishness. It is so far opposite of who God is. He says, you're not even positioned to pray. And we need to understand that if we want to have an open heaven over our lives, we need to be generous. Now, I'm not talking about buying the favor of God. There are far too many people that manipulate that. But there's something about generosity that puts us in position to receive from the Lord. There's something about generosity that puts us in position for God to do things in our lives. The Bible says it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. God's not trying to hold stuff away from us. How many know it's us that's out of position that we can't receive? And when we are generous, when we give, when we share, when we bless, all of a sudden we are, as we used to say when I was a kid, under the spout where the glory comes out. An open heaven. We know from Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, right? The scripture says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven. When we give, something happens in the spiritual realm. The heavens open. When we are generous, this happens to us. The heavens open our lives. We put ourselves in position for God to do in us what he wants to do. Am I preaching to the right church here today? A lot of you that made a commitment at the beginning of the year when we focused on the Blessed Life series to begin to tithe and give to God the first. And I've heard from so many of you that will testify that this is true. That when we are generous, when we give, God opens the windows of heaven over our lives. Here's the last one, and then we're going to receive our offering and we're going to pray. And I think this is so important because giving or generosity is the opposite spirit of the world. It's the opposite spirit of our culture. Biblical generosity is so different than the world's idea of giving. Now listen closely. This is me jumping up on my imaginary soapbox, okay? I'm about to get on my soapbox. Are you ready for this? Biblical generosity is different than the world's idea of giving. How many of you have noticed that in the last few years, the word give has been replaced with a phrase, give back? You know, somebody... maybe an athlete gets a new contract and they give some money to charity and they'll say, well, I wanted to give back. We'll see it in news, we'll see it in reports. You know, it's good to give back. Somebody serves, somebody blesses, you know, somebody's volunteering at a shelter or something. Well, they're giving back to the community. Can I tell you, giving back is not a biblical idea. Giving back is based on the idea, listen closely, that you owe it to the people in your community. You owe it to the people who made it possible, to the roads that you didn't build. I'm winking. Or to the government who made it possible. Come on, somebody, I'm about to preach. This kind of giving is motivated by condemnation. It's motivated by guilt. You owe your prosperity. You owe your blessing to the roads that were built, to the community that taught you. So give back what you owe. Can I tell you, that's not generosity. That's guilt. That's condemnation. Biblical generosity, listen, generosity happens when you give what is yours. Giving away what belongs to someone else is not generosity. Now, if I went to Chad here and said, Chad, you know, the Lord spoke to me that you're supposed to give $100, you're supposed to give it through me. That's easy. I can do that all day long. Versus the Lord speaking to me, that's a whole different animal. See, we have created this thinking in our culture that somehow it belongs to somebody else. Biblical generosity is you giving what is yours that was given to you by God. The only giving back is giving back to God, because the Bible says every good thing comes from above. Now watch this, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18. This is so important. Remember the Lord your God. It is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. I'm going slow. Where did everything that you have in your life come from? It came from God. Who gave you the power to be blessed? God did. Who gave you the power to create wealth? God did. Are you getting this? It didn't come from the community. It didn't come from the government. It came from God. Listen closely. Giving back is a phrase created by godless people who think they owe their success or their blessing to the earth, to the community, or to mankind overall. So stop saying give back and just give. Just give. It's yours because God gave it to you. That's what generosity is. Giving what God has given to us. I like what Randy Freeman said. He's a missionary. He was with us for Missions Week a few weeks ago. He posted this on Twitter. He said, "A spirit of poverty says more for you is less for me. A spirit of generosity says more for you is more for me." Let me know that's different. Last verse, John chapter 1, verse 16. I love this. I don't know if it's on the screen or not. Let me read it to you. We live off God's generous bounty, gift after gift after gift. So, this Christmas season, if you want to have an empty Christmas, forget about generosity. Only focus on you. Focus on your situation, your circumstances, and the season will come and go, and it'll be empty. I was having a conversation with a lady at Walmart a couple days ago. We were talking about Christmas, and she was using some colorful language, and I was just amazed, but she's way older than my mom. I was just like, wow. She said, "Here's the way it works in my house. My son gives me, I give my son $100, he gives it back to me, we're done." That's crazy. Where's the generosity there? God's got a better plan. Give, bless, share, and when you do, God will give you more than you ever dreamed. Now, in the context of this message that I just shared, think about the verse in Luke where Jesus said, "Give, and it will be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over." So here's the final question. What can I give, Pastor Wayne? I'm glad you asked. Here's some things that you can give. First of all, you can give your treasure. That's called money. Okay? Now, let me give you a few ideas. Next Sunday, we are going to receive our Christmas offering. And we've been talking about this for several weeks, but we are going to receive a special offering. that is going to fund an English school off the island of Tanzania in the heart of a very dominant Muslim area. We're going to help purchase property for an English school in the Eastleigh area of Nairobi, a very, very difficult place for people to preach the gospel. But through this English school, they're going to build relationships and plant churches. And in Alexandria, Egypt, we're purchasing equipment for a CrossFit gym for a former UFC fighter and two national rugby players who are going to use that as a base to build relationships and preach Jesus and plant churches. And then part of that offering is going to build a benevolence fund for people in our Grace family who find themselves in need in 2016. So I'm asking you today, would you give to that? In your message notes, there is a card that looks like this. I'd like you to take it in your hand. And what I'm asking you to do today is simply say, yes, I'm going to participate next week. Okay? So take a moment, write your name there, and just say, hey, count on me, I'm going to give something. Teenagers, this is for you. Young adults, this is for you. College students, this is for you. Mom and dad, sir, lady, everybody. The miracle happens when everybody participates. Now, here's the good news. You don't have to give what I tell you to give, because I'm not going to tell you. I'm simply going to ask you to talk to Jesus about it, about what to give. And I can tell you that when you do, your hands won't return empty. God will give you way more back. Amen? And so if you know you're not going to be here next Sunday, go ahead and give. We'll take it, all right? You can give online. There'll be lots of options about that. That's one way you can give your resources. Here's another way. In just a second, we're going to receive our offering. You can put this there. On the table in front of me are the rest of the names for the kids for this year's World's Largest Christmas Party. Typically, we do about 200 kids. This year, we upped it by 100. And I know some of you are asking, Pastor, why are you asking us to give so much? Because I want you to receive so much. That was a great place to just encourage the pastor, but you can do that later. All right. So after the service, come and pick up one of these forms, and you're going to go purchase the gifts. You're going to bring them back, and God's going to create an atmosphere for miracles in that person's life. Over here, back here, if I can make my way around, this is a backpack. Our homeless ministry is going to pass out 200 backpacks on December 23rd, right before Christmas, and every backpack's going to be filled with different things that a homeless person might need. And so one way you can help is come and grab one of these backpacks at the end of the service, go fill it up with what's in the list, okay? No more, no less. Bring it back to the church before the 23rd, and they're going to deliver it. Some of you may want to go with them and help deliver those, and so there's a few of these left that you can help give your resources. Now, we're about to receive God's tithes and our offerings, and so some of you, maybe you haven't tithed in a long time or never or whatever, this is also a chance for you to give back to God what is already His. Amen? Now, here's the second thing you can give. You can give your time. How many know time is a gift that we've all been given? That's called volunteering or serving. Now, there's a few examples or ways that you can help. In your bulletin, there is a volunteer form that looks like this. If you'd like to, take that in your hand as well. This is your way to give your time. This weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we anticipate full crowds every night. So we need an army of people to help hospitality, childcare, different areas. You see it's on there. This is a way to give. You are giving your time to serve and to bless. And as people come together and give, we create this atmosphere for God to do a work. Are you catching the vision for this? So if you'd like to help us out, mark it down, your information, and when the ushers come in a minute, you're going to put that in the offering as well. Now, we do Growth Track every month. Today, this afternoon, is Growth Track. One of the classes that we offer is Grace 301. It helps you learn how to serve, so you're not just volunteering one time, but ongoing. That's a great opportunity for you to do that. And then your talent. How many know you can give your talent away? So that would involve simply you asking the Lord, God, what talent have you given to me? How can I use that to bless somebody else, to encourage somebody else? Some of you have a gift of teaching. Some of you have a gift of music. Some of you have a gift of business. Some of you have, I don't know what your gift is, but I dare you to ask God, Lord, how can I share this with other folks? And you know what? You're not going to lose your talent. It will actually be multiplied back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Am I talking to the right church here today? I want to invite our ushers to come, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to the altar call this morning. This is the altar call, the response to an empty Christmas or a full Christmas, to give, to be generous, to share, to serve. That's our response, to be like God, for God so loved that he gave. We want to be givers too. We want to be blessers. We don't want to be, there's going to be times in our lives where we're going to need to receive from others, right? It's okay. I think we've all been there at least one time, sometimes more than once. But when God gives us the opportunity, we need to be the blessers. And I think today is that day. Amen? Whatever you have to give here today, whether it's a tithe, an offering, or one of those forms, or that card, I want you to hold it in your hand, and let's give God thanks for it. Lord God, we thank you for what we hold in our hands. Lord, this tithe, we're giving back to you. It's yours. It belongs to you. We're returning to you with thanksgiving for all that you've done for us. These offerings that we're giving today, we're giving simply because we love you. And we know that your heart is for us to be generous like you. So Lord, we simply identify with you in giving. Lord, we give our volunteer, our time, God, as we sign up and commit to being part of what you're doing this week and from this point forward. And God, we give you our commitment to our resources because we know that you're a giver. And we pray, God, you'd make us like you. We give with gratitude. We give with worship. We give because we want to be like you today. May the joy of the Lord fill our hearts as we give to you all that you've given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your giving today. So you can give, all right? Are you ready? May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May God give you his presence, his joy, and his power as you walk in obedience to his generosity. I bless you in Jesus' name. Have a great day. We love you. God bless you.